Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We've been making our way in the program the last few weeks through the exciting stories of the Acts of the Apostles, the beginning of the church. It's our story, the story of the church, and I'm so grateful that the church takes us through the whole rhythm of Jesus' life every year, and it's important for us to see the way in which the Holy Spirit built the church, how Jesus, through his life, passion, death, and resurrection, made it possible to take human flesh into the presence of God the Father, to begin the new creation, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and to begin the church through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the head of a body, of a living body, of what described Paul and others describe as like one new man. We're united in one person. We're the body, he's the head. And nothing will ever stop. Nothing can stop the work and the will of Jesus Christ and the will and the plan the Father has given to Jesus to fulfill, which he will fulfill till he comes again in glory, and it will be praised and honored for all eternity, the work that Jesus is going to complete and he's going to accomplish. One of the most beautiful things that we see in the story of Peter and John, for example, that we looked at last week, and the preaching they did, the preaching of the gospel, beginning really on the day of Pentecost itself, when Peter clarifies for everyone the reality of what they were experiencing. They came out of the upper room just filled with the Spirit. Tongues of fire had come upon them, and the power of God was released. And it was a sign. It was a living experience of a reality. Friends, this is not just a story, a kind of nice religious story that happened to be made up by some people to start the church, to make us all feel like God is with us in this wonderful story. This is a reality. The apostles who were in the upper room were there because they were obeying Jesus. Jesus said, wait, that he would clothe them with power from on high. He told them that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He told them they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they would become his witnesses. This is how Jesus establishes and builds the church. Those who are baptized into Christ are baptized into that same Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the fire that Jesus came to cast upon the earth, the fire that he said he desires would be burning in the heart and life of the church every day until he comes again in glory. Because that's the fire that burns in Jesus. The fire of God's love. It's the unstoppable fire. It's the fire from which everything has been created. It's the fire, the love that conquers all things. It's been released in the life of the apostles. And so they go forth from the upper room filled with courage, and they declare that the Holy Spirit is falling on all flesh, and it's fulfilling the prophets, Prophet Joel and other prophets of the Old Testament, the anticipation of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the great gift. The anointing would not just be on a king or on a prophet, a unique prophet, but it would fall on all flesh. And when the Spirit fell, it stirred within the apostles. John Paul II said their deepest energies and thrust them out into the marketplace and got them moving. I've shared this many times over the years. St. John Paul II said one of the fundamental things that the Spirit produces in us is movement. He gets us going. That's one way you can tell if we're really surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Are we engaging the vocations, the mission that Christ has given to us? Are we loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Loving our neighbor in the ways that the neighbor that God has put into our lives? Are we loving our neighbor in our wife and our spouse and our children, our neighbors and friends and the weak and the broken and the lost? Are we engaging the Great Commission? Are we helping build Christian community? Are we making sacrifices? And are we obeying the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we walking by the Spirit, as St. Paul said? Very important questions. And I hope you have a chance to meditate on these readings and just place yourself in the story. It's so beautiful to do that, a little Lectio Divina, you might say, to be able to place yourself in the story and internalize the reality. We're not just watching a movie or observing a story that was in the past. This is our story. It's meant to be our story today. And when the Lord renews his church, this is what he's trying to renew. He's not just trying to build new buildings, you know, or expand our boundaries in terms of our property or the wealth of the church or the influence of the church in that way. What he's doing is he's pouring out his Holy Spirit. And authentic renewal means renewal in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we also passed through this week the story of the martyrdom of Stephen and how the life of Jesus, the mission of Jesus, was so beautifully reproduced in the proclamation, the working of signs and wonders, the yielding to the Holy Spirit that was in the life of St. Stephen, and his surrender and willingness to die for what he believed, and the testimony he gave to the glory and majesty of Jesus at the right hand of God the Father, and the help that Jesus himself said he would send, and the words that he spoke that Jesus himself said he would stir up in our hearts by the help of the Holy Spirit when we're dragged in front of people, when in this case he was dragged, Stephen, before the Sanhedrin and a really hostile and angry group of people who eventually stoned him. And he was radiating the glory of God. He was caught up in the glory of God. He fell to his knees. He offered his spirit to the Lord, and he prayed for those. He forgave those who were killing him. He was filled with the love of Jesus. And as he died, the people scattered. That's where we ended yesterday. They were scattered because of the severe persecution in Jerusalem. The brothers and sisters, many of them except the apostles, left, and they started spreading out throughout Israel. And as they went, what did they do? Did they run and hide? No. You couldn't keep them silent. They proclaimed the gospel. They performed signs and wonders, and more of them were raised up, just as Jesus promised. It's such a beautiful thing. And one of the things that we see is at the center of their proclamation, at the center of their witness, is the declaration of a fact, the declaration, proclamation of the truth. The truth is that Jesus, whom was killed and crucified, is alive. He rose from the dead. No one else had ever done that. And he rose to a new life. And he rose to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And now all power, all dominion, all understanding of the meaning of life and reality, it's all in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what the apostles declared right from the day of Pentecost. St. Peter, as he talked about who Jesus was, that he was raised from the dead, the people's hearts were stirred, and they said, what should we do? What must we do? Peter said, repent. That is, change the direction of your life. Turn toward God. Acknowledge your hard-heartedness. Acknowledge your sin. Repent. Offer your sins to Christ. Be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what they did. That's the central message. And he said he had proclaimed to them that God the Father had made this Jesus, Mary's son, Lord and Christ. He's the Lord of all. All power and dominion belong to him. He's the Savior. He's the anointed Messiah. He's the Lord of all. That's the simple teaching of the church. I mean, the catechism echoes it beautifully. Paragraph 668 of the catechism said, Christ died and lived again that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So this is his destiny. This is what the Father has done, that Jesus would be Lord of all, of the dead and of the living. Those of you who are listening, you're alive, you're breathing. What God's plan for you is that you would come and live in and under the lordship of Jesus, under the authority and the dominion of Christ. As St. Peter said, that you would enthrone him in your heart. It's a good thing to do if you've never done it. It's not only good, it's essential to say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you as Lord. All authority, power, and dominion belong to you. I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I surrender my time, my talent, my treasure. I surrender it all to you, Lord, and I ask that you teach me how to walk in your footsteps and to serve you and to acknowledge his lordship. That's what the church does. The church exists to give thanks to the Father, to love the Father, to acknowledge the place of Jesus, and that Jesus is now the center of all salvation. It flows from him, and all of it flows from him, and all of it comes back to him when we acknowledge our sins and are baptized into Jesus. And paragraph 668 goes on. It says, Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity in God's power and authority. There's a lot in just that one sentence. The human race, which rebelled against God, which had fallen from glory in Jesus, has been restored to glory. And now, at the right hand of the Father, there's a human person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, Mary's son. All power and authority belongs to him. He's the head of a new race of people. He's the beginning of a new creation, and it's flowing from him. The Catechism goes on, same paragraph. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the central proclamation that we're hearing through everybody, John, Peter, Stephen, Philip, and then we'll hear it through Paul and others. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and earth. He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. For the Father has put all things under Jesus' feet. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history. In human history, and indeed all creation, are set forth and transcendently fulfilled in Jesus, meaning Jesus renews all things. He's making all things new, and he wants to make you new and me new by living in the power of the Holy Spirit, living in his church, living in the grace, receiving the grace of the sacraments, living in the communion that he himself is establishing in his church and engaging the Lord's mission. So Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior. He is Christ, and he's Lord. Savior means this very simply. He died for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. He died, he came to take away our sin and to give us new life, a share in the divine life. That's what it means, justification. To be put in right relationship with God is not just a legal act. It's a sharing in the very life of God. He brings us from death to life. Only Jesus can do that. That's what salvation is. And ultimately, salvation is making it all the way home and living in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all eternity. He's the Christ. That means he's the Messiah. He's exalted and glorified. He's the source of the outpouring of the Spirit. And Jesus anoints us. He Christs us. The word Christ means anointed. The new life he gives us makes it possible for us to rise to him. It says the glory he received from the Father became his power, and the power to create new life in those who believe in him. That's from Father Joseph Fitzmyer. It's beautifully put. The power to create new life in those who believe in him. Only Jesus can create that new life. He alone. He's the Messiah, and that he's Lord. He's Savior, he's Christ, and he's Lord. The Holy Spirit reveals to us Jesus exalted at the right hand of the Father, and we saw it so beautifully in Stephen's testimony. He's at the right hand of glory, which means all power and authority has now been given to him. We declare on Sunday he's the judge of the living and the dead. Why? Because he reigns, and we will reign with him. If we die with him, we will rise with him. If we rise with him, we'll ascend with him. If we ascend with him, we'll reign with him in glory. So beautiful. Ephesians chapter 1. He wants to gather up all things in him. This is the Father's plan. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, and put all things under his feet, and made him head over all things in heaven and on earth. Jesus the Lord possessed the power derived from the Father, capable of bringing about the resurrection of Christians. This is the essence of Christianity. This is why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And friends, this is the best news possible, and the news that the Lord desires that you and I share every chance we get. Lord, give us strength, give us courage to walk in the footsteps of the apostles and to proclaim with freedom and love and great compassion who you are and what you've accomplished. Have a good day, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.